PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the Original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is the captain of the 2025 Granddaddy team. You might know him on the forum if you follow along at all as A Mark Above. He's known in the real world, if you will, as Andrew Mark Wilhelm. It really trips me up, dude, because it's A Mark Above, but it's Andrew Mark. Like, I can hardly handle it. I'm just going to call you Marky Mark at this point.
Sure, why not? I'm leading a funky bunch, so why not?
Hey, man, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude. This was a really fun sort of last minute idea. I was kind of hoping to bug you closer to game time since you guys go to Cali here in about a month's time or so. I guess less than a month now.
3 weeks, I think.
So actually, I guess it works pretty well. It's been a big buildup for you.
It has. It definitely has.
I think best way to get this thing going is everyone wants to know who you are. And I know, shout out to Muchie, much more, or Chris Much, if you will, if you're like a normal person who interacts on social medias. He has done a pretty awesome job of getting people connected via video. We're starting to see that unroll on the forum, including these great interviews that he's doing with your teammates. But I think we'll do it here as well. I'd love to talk a little bit about your history in the game of golf, where you came from, what it is about golf that you're into.
Sure, totally. I got into golf as a kid. My dad played, my grandpa played. So I just started like wanting to play with them. My grandfather was an avid golfer, and he was the most unorthodox golfer I've ever seen. He never stopped moving. Like, I think his pace would have put the group ones, the JBs, to shame. Like, he didn't, not only did he not take a practice shot, he would in one, it was like slow motion Happy Gilmore. That's the best way I can describe it. He would like walk up and swing as he was going. Wouldn't hit it far, but would hit it straight and just would go. So I played as a kid, played a lot in high school. My neighbors worked at a local golf course in Michigan where I grew up. So we would go in the summers and just, because we got on for free and horse around. I fell in love with it then. It sort of fell away while I was in college and the years after by nature of, I work in theater, so I bounced around the country, and it was kind of hard with early career schedules. Fast forward to 2023, I'm in Rochester, New York now. The PGA Championship was coming. My brother-in-law is in the PGA professional program, so he was getting free tickets because he was, at that point, he had finished level one. And they were coming up to visit anyways. Like, they made a whole trip out of it to come visit, and then we went. And my in-laws are all avid golfers, so I was like, this, and I had been thinking about for a little bit, this would be a good time to get back into it. So bought some clubs, bought a Callaway Edge set from Costco. I bought it directly from Callaway pre-owned, which was awesome. We actually didn't end up playing. We went to all 4 days of the tournament, ended up not being able to play because the day we were going to play it rained because it's Rochester, New York. But then I had the clubs and I started going out by myself, and it all started slowly coming back to me. And I needed that set didn't have a bag. It was just a box of clubs. So I needed a bag. That led to internet searching. And that's actually how I found THP, was by finding the Hyperlite Zero thread from 2022, 2023, that Granddaddy team, had received. So I like fell from that review into that thread, and more and more I read, I was like, this place is awesome. I need to sign up. I need to. And then I lurked for a while, and then eventually like started posting, and from there, like, the golf journey has become fast and furious. I fall into hobbies really hard.
Yeah. I get a sense of that. I mean, you got a social media full of photography and guitar playing, which, I get a sense that, is something you probably enjoy doing as well. I gave up on that long ago, and I realized I wasn't the second coming of anything, really. Oh.
Neither am I. I just enjoy messing around with them. I occasionally, for work, I'm a sound designer and audio engineer. So the guitars are an excuse sometimes. If I'm making sound effects, I'll do weird things with them and pedals and create things that don't sound anything like guitar. So the creative side is what I love about that. So that's, but I do, I fall into hobbies hard, and I fell into golf hard. And honestly, I fall out of hobbies pretty hard usually, but having THP has kept, I would have fallen out by now if I didn't have THP, and now I'm in it. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Well, I had the privilege of hanging out with you. Is that a year ago? Just over a year ago now?
Just over a year ago. Yeah.
That's crazy. Up in New Jersey. What a spot that was.
It was awesome.
And so we got a chance to go play Hidden Creek. Super fun time. And had a lot of fun banter during that couple days that we were up there. And I didn't realize at the time that your golf story was so brief at that point. Like the idea that that amount of time that's gone by has effectively now doubled your time back in golf, which is crazy to me.
Pretty much.
Being that I've been like desperately obsessed with this game for many decades. But it's also a great representation of what the Hacker's Paradise is. We are a place that affords any golfer the ability and right to come and share their story and their perspective and not be treated poorly, which, let's be honest, is a pretty uncommon thing in this world.
It's very rare. And I will say, like, in the time between playing in high school days and now, like, I was still an avid, I watched golf a lot still. I was watching majors every year in the Ryder Cup. I wasn't necessarily watching weekly like I have been the last couple of years, because, again, I fall into hobbies hard. But I was definitely still following golf.
So what was the holdup? You mentioned it's challenging with all the travel, and you know, I understand things cost money, and you know,
yeah,
the fastest things to go are the things that are oftentimes most expensive. But was it hard for you to not participate despite still being fond of the game?
A little bit. Part of it was always theater schedules make no sense. And not a lot of people in that world are golfers or do anything with sports. I'm kind of a rarity in the theater world where sports are something else I truly love. So just not having anybody to share it with and go out and play with, and because I'm moving all around the country, like, not close. Like, when I would go home, if I went home in the summer, which was rare because of the schedules, I would play with my dad then.
Oh, cool.
So I guess I didn't give it up completely, but I didn't have my own set of clubs and I didn't play regularly like I am now.
Yeah, I mean, I get a sense you're a pretty big sport guy. We hang out in a couple different threads together on THP. It's not all just golf and, you know, what did you have for dinner today? It's pretty much all encompassing. You talk about the anything that sort of exists in your world, and you find like-minded individuals to either agree or argue with.
Absolutely.
If you will. I believe, sadly, you're a desperate, happy, mad Detroit sports fan at this point.
Happy mad is the best way to describe all Detroit sports fans, I think, all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I love this moment for your hockey team where you were quite terrible for the last couple of years, respectfully, because you've been battering my favorite teams for a couple of years or decades, if you will, at this point.
Sure.
So, yeah. So filling up the time, does golf on TV have a lot of space for you there?
It does. I think because it's a different, I mean, it's obviously a different time. Usually it's a afternoon, summer, weekend thing. Especially because my weekends are usually in the winter times. I got like Premier League soccer running. Also the TV is almost always on and it's almost always sports. Even if I am watching a movie or something, odds are I have another screen open with something on mute sports wise. I'm kind of a psychopath that way.
Guilty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's not bad. I mean, I've always said that you don't necessarily need explosions to be interesting, but at the same time, it's easier to watch two things than one for some reason, especially when you're not that invested into it. So
totally.
That's typically how I end up watching my golf. And the nice thing is it's, you know, it can be daytime taking it in. I'm curious though, because like everything that we've discussed so far, I get a sense that Callaway sort of had a bit of a hook in you ever since the box set really began. Was it before that? How did you land on that as a box set?
Did some internet research. I do I research a lot of things when I don't know. Like I want to learn as much as I can all the time. And that was well reviewed, well talked about at a price point that at that point I was comfortable with. That price point has since exploded on me, but you know, that is what it is. I did have, when I was back in the before, I had a couple Callaway clubs. I had a Big Bertha in the bag, like a three, like almost all of my clubs were hand-me-downs. So, but the one that I had that was mine was a Big Bertha, I want to say three wood, with like my dad's hand-me-down Spalding irons and a bunch of other random stuff. But so like Callaway was a brand that I had heard of at least. So, obviously by watching golf, I still had heard of all the major players, but, it always just spoke to me. I kind of love the chevron, which is simple, but like I'm drawn to design too. So that's probably part of it.
Simple man with simple needs. I appreciate that. And I love that, for whatever reason, we all get hooked by something. And I think that's part of the fun. I would assume that you're not unlike most people, that the best product ends up in the bag. It's not like you're going to give up a ton. But fortunately for you, Callaway's doing some really good things right now.
Yeah, they are.
That I believe you've been pretty knee deep in all year preparing for the granddaddy. So you got a good idea what's happening right now.
Totally. I've had a full Callaway bag almost all season. Like I've had the top end of the bag has been different. Partially because last year that Hidden Creek thing being a Titleist experience, you know, I was playing those clubs too, making sure I was doing my fair share there. And then it was fun to compare the two, and just every brand is making great stuff right now. So it's easy to play what you want to play. And I just, the Callaway speaks to me.
Yeah. Tell me about golf in Rochester. What's it like up there?
Golf in Rochester. There's a lot of golf in Rochester. Like the amount of access I have to courses that are, easy to get onto, not ridiculously expensive. There's a lot. And then of course there's also the big private clubs, the Oak Hills, the Rochester Country Clubs that I will never sniff, but they're like, so most of my golf is played, at a muni, a county course about 5-10 minutes from my house. And it is the nicest county run public. I used to play county courses back in Michigan. Those weren't always the best. And when I lived in California for 5 years, I got onto a course once and it was terrible. Which I think maybe also didn't help me get back into it back then.
Sure.
If I'm being totally honest. But there's just a lot of golf. Like it's a weird little collection of, I want to say there's probably 20 courses that I could go out and get on. Now, obviously the weather has turned to shit this last week and golf has stopped in the area, but there's a lot of golf here. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah, we had snow on the ground yesterday. I can't even believe you're bringing it up right now because it's just incredibly uncool to talk about.
Yeah, it's actually raining now. It was snow, so the snow is finally going away because it's being rained on.
Nice. Yeah, I assume Rochester, being where it is, has pretty lush growing seasons. I would assume it doesn't get too hot there. A lot of off season gives time for healing and growth.
Yep.
So. Would you say, since you've been around the country and experienced some golf elsewhere, would you say it's one of those places where even like a lower tier golf course is still going to present really pretty strong?
Yeah. Even the courses in the area that aren't as well maintained, that, you know, you can tell aren't watered as often as they should be, because this summer we didn't, like, for as wet as it is now in the early, the summer was dry. The worst courses that I played were still pretty lush and They weren't baked out to the point you can't play them. They didn't look ugly. They still looked nice.
Nice. Yeah, it's always fun talking about the different climates. And I would say the worst thing, at least here in Ohio, is typically they'll let the greens get a little long and bumpy. And that's usually the big teller, or they don't put a lot of fertilizer down or whatever it might be. And you get some clover buildup. Yeah. So I would say those are like the two. Other than like maybe we just don't have bunkers on this golf course, not a bad plan. But
I mean, my main course only has one little bunker on 18 that I think I've been in exactly once.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's those are the easiest things to skip and yeah. still have a pretty nice place to call home.
They also have a bad habit of not necessarily taking care of the rough and letting the rough grow way more than I think maybe they should. There were times in June where I was like, okay, I know Oakmont was a thing, but this course does not need to have this rough when the fairways are only at most 20 yards wide. Like, can I have a chance of getting this ball out of here, please?
So I've talked to a number of guys from up in that area, just generally speaking, New York, Pennsylvania, like Northeast Ohio. And it seems like the conversation ends up being like, I play a very tree-lined golf course. Is that the case for the most of the courses up there?
Most of them, yes. There are a couple that are, they call themselves link style, and it just means there aren't as many trees around. They're more open. Like, it's not like you got wind whipping off they're not up by the lake or anything like that. But yeah, most of them are tree-lined park courses.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you really can't miss. You have to play it straight. If you do, it's a penalty in a different way. You kind of have to punch out or ideally hit over a line of trees to get back in play.
Lots of windows. Lots of windows.
Yeah, we've got a couple of great threads on THP talking about finding a window. In fact, Blazenden, the absolute turkey that he is, has a picture of me trying to, and successfully, might I add, hit through a number of trees last year at the same time, which is, you know, embarrassing but funny all at the same. Do you struggle when you go to different types of golf courses, links, or, you know, parkland, some of the other different styles?
A little bit.
Is it like the alignment that the challenge is?
It is the alignment. It's also the biggest thing is I can't read Bermuda to save my life. So that's going to be interesting. And I have, because I play on some pretty damn slow greens, speed on greens always takes me a minute to adjust to. I actually think you experienced me blowing every putt past a hole by like 10 feet on day one at a Hidden Creek. I tend to find bunkers if there's a lot of them, because I think it's because I'm not used to them, so I want to go play in them.
That's
how I explain it to myself.
Sure.
But I'm my golf game is at the point where I just try to keep the ball in front of me at this point, so that helps in the different styles. I played one of those links courses with my dad a month ago and actually did a pretty good job just keeping it in front. The lack of trees did throw me off a little bit on tee shots, but I managed to get my way around the course.
Yeah, I've got a friend from New York who used to come down a fair bit, and he would get through 12 holes on my course, which is more or less that open presentation. And by the 12th hole, so the 11th tee box, or sorry, the 10th tee box aims you at the 11th green with the actual 10th green off to the right. And then the 11th hole has you aimed at the road with the the green off to the left. And when he gets through those two, he's just screwed for the rest of the weekend. You know, because he's so used to those tree line, like preset conditions. Yep,
you have to go this way.
and if you look from above, it really is brutal to think about where it wants you to go. And, you know, shout out to Arnie, God rest him for doing such brutal things to my friends at the turn. But it's quite funny, you know, when you get so accustomed to playing in a certain way and a certain style that you almost overlook some of the things that golf is quite challenging for, and part of that is alignment. Where are you aimed?
Definitely. I also think virtue of winters, having to go inside in a sim, you don't have to align yourself in a sim very often.
That's
like
true.
A little bit, but it's like you're lining yourself up to a mat on the ground and you're hitting the ball for like it. The first couple of rounds this year after coming out of the sims, I was always like, wait, I know I'm not aimed right.
That's the hard part, right? Like I go in the sim, I'm like, oh God, why am I aimed so left? In reality, outside, I like to play it off the right with a little turnover. So I get in the sim and I get that like little autocorrect I'm required to do. And it's I don't know. I love it. Are you big into the sim golf up there?
I try to get out. I don't get out to the sim as often as I try to get out on the actual course.
You get out to the sim or into the sim?
Into the sim, I guess. Out to the place that has the sim. If I had a space for sim here, I'd have a setup, but I don't.
Nice.
I got way too low of ceilings.
Yeah, same.
I try to get out a couple times a month in the winter.
Yeah.
Make sure I'm not just sitting and doing nothing. The past 2 years, though, as I've been playing, like in February, there's always like a random day where it gets up into the 50s. And I have, there are a couple courses here that leave the pins, the cups in all year round, and they throw the pins in when there's no snow. So I've played in February each of the last two Februarys too. So,
oh, that's huge. Yeah. We usually get a chance every month here. It's not a guarantee. And the ground either needs to be completely frozen or completely thawed for us to get out on our course. But yeah, I think I would lose my mind if I didn't have sim at this point, because we're now, or you know, every week we get in there at least once and just enough to talk some shit and, you know, tell some stories and act like we're still competent at the game. Although I wholly object to Trackman's tour putt logic. It is brutal. Oh, I don't so agree dumb. With it at all.
I play less actual like holes on the sim as I do just open the range and look at some numbers, because I don't want to putt on a sim. It's,
oh no, we don't. We have the,
well, I know the auto. Yeah. I don't want to do that. It makes me terrible. So mad.
Yeah. Cause I'm like 2 feet away and I get a two putt. My buddy's 20 feet away and gets a one putt.
Yep.
And I swear to you, he's got stock in Trackman or something. I don't know what's going on. He's got it all figured out.
Got the Game Gear cheat codes, yeah, for the Trackman.
I think it's the only time I've ever gone digital and been worse inside than I am outside. Like, you used to play in Tiger Woods Remake everything. Now I go inside and I miss everything. It's like, hold on, I'm not that bad at putting. Well, we got to talk Granddaddy, man, because there is you know, over 10 years of storyline to this event. It has become a crazy tradition on THP to get hyped up for this event that is in early December. It is a bunch of randos from the internet against a bunch of awesome people from Callaway, and they provide you guys with a whole bag full of clubs, a whole fitting. No spoilers, because you probably have read through every thread for the last 10 years. But they also open their doors and share their time, which I think is one of the most important components for a couple days, not to mention the insane golf you're probably going to get to play.
Totally.
So I would say that's a pretty strong lead in. Tell me about, what was it like being selected as captain, and did it feel like at a left field, or do you think you had a chance?
Oh, it caught me by complete surprise.
Yeah.
I was at work just on my lunch break. We just had a rather interesting, stressful meeting, I remember. So I was just like, all right, I'm gonna go sit down at my desk, have some lunch, and open THP. And there was a bunch of notifications. And I was like, what is this? Didn't know it was even being, no one knew it was really being announced. And I obviously saw the thread and started reading, and just, I don't remember the rest of the day. Like, I know I posted something that, like, honored and thankful, because that's true and it remains true. My mind went blank. I was like, how is this happening? I've now, in the meet the teams that the much more did that I'm in, like, JB actually explained the process a little bit. And so I know how I got picked. I still don't believe it. Like, it still doesn't feel real. I don't feel like I deserve it, and I feel like I every day I try to deserve it. That's the approach I have to it. I try to keep earning it every day.
But it's part of the win, right? The idea that you can get there and you know, convince yourself that that's what was meant to be. And the beauty of it is the opportunity is there for anyone to represent and be a part of something pretty significant. What day was that? Do you remember?
It was December. So I want to say 28th, but that's my mom's birthday. It may have been that same day.
Okay.
But it was right there at the very end of December.
So it's 11 months ago. It still hasn't really sunk in yet. And I assume it will probably in the last couple putts on the final day in singles. But what have the last 11 months brought to you? I assume it's a whole lot of Callaway knowledge from a club standpoint. You've also added an entire team worth of people around you. How has it evolved?
It's been quite a process. So obviously the first few months there, I didn't have a team. And I just sort of reading up. Those first couple months, I went through every single thread and read them all at least twice.
And you said thread. We're talking about
the live threads.
We're talking about live threads that traditionally have somewhere between 15 and 20,000 posts in them.
Yep. Yep. It was not a slow process. It took those couple of months. The first few years didn't take, like, obviously they weren't as big, and it's very sad that all of the pictures are basically gone, which is sad to not be able to see those. And I'm sure for the people who live those, it's sad to not have those experiences immortalized there, but it also helped, like, me kind of put a picture in my own mind of what I think it could be, which is kind of fun. And then there was the last couple that I read the most heavily, because obviously they're the closest ones. And I had, so I joined in 23. I tried to follow the 23 thread live. It learned very quickly that it was never going to happen for me that year, because I just was not experienced enough. Even last year's, I did a much better job, but it's impossible to state how hard they are to keep up with. Going back and rereading all of them, as always, it's an incredible thing to read, because everybody loves it for good reason. There's not a single person in that thread who isn't living and hanging on every update from the team, and just all also talking with each other while waiting for the next update from the team. There's nothing else like it. And especially because it's spread out in a way different than other live threads by virtue of the way the event is over 4 days, as opposed to necessarily two, I think it's the community at its most communal. I love it.
Interesting. Yeah. It's definitely a celebration. It's not just, let's gain some knowledge, let's see what they're doing. It's a celebration of one of the biggest events that probably will ever be. Part of our story on THP. So that's quite an undertaking. So you've blasted through the threads. You've experienced a little bit of it firsthand, being a member for a little while. And now you start to add teammates. Does it become more real at that point?
It definitely becomes the first teammate we got was KP, and it was an out of the blue tap. JB was like, "Oh, you really want to go? You're going." It was one of the coolest things I've seen on the forum in real time, because I was following it, like, at that point. At this point, I'm following every Callaway Granddaddy thread, like, in real time. So I saw that happen, and to send the first message to, "Hey, welcome to the team, like, this is what we're going to do," like, from there, and with every single teammate that's been added since, the excitement has grown. I feel like, because obviously everyone, when they get picked, they win their contest, they get tapped, however they get excited, rightfully so, and I feel like I am just taking their excitement and adding it to mine. So I have, well, at this point, 15 people's worth of excitement all stacked on top of each other, which is it's an incredible feeling. Like, it takes up, when I'm not working, it takes up pretty much most of my thinking space, and even while I am working, if I'm being honest, it's probably taking up all of my thinking space.
Yeah, that's a lot of real estate to churn around for months at a time.
Totally. But it's been a blast. It's a little overwhelming, but never once have I felt like it's a chore or a job or work. Like, there's a lot of work to be done, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't feel like work. It feels like the greatest honor to be able to do this and figure all this stuff out. And I've got a good group of guys, and I've got an ASCAP who's helping me, and also, you know, in my ear now about pairings like crazy, which has been a blast. I love him. He's great.
Yeah, he is a specimen of obsession when it comes to pairings and potential outcomes. There might not be a better person in that regard to challenge your mental space, that's for sure.
It's true. He also it's obvious how much he cares and loves Callaway in this event, and everybody. The love that everyone has for this is very apparent.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you've learned. You've got a bunch of guys on the team now. I assume there have been video calls, there have been, you know, discussions. You've interacted with each other on the forum, hopefully lots. And are you getting a small sense of who's going to work best with who?
I think so. There have been quite a few Zoom calls with all of us, or as many of us that can join on any. We've had a bunch of those. You know, we have a side group chat that I will let them banter with for a while and then be like, no, go take this over there, put on the forum, please. And they're all a good group of guys, to every last one of them. And I think so far from like there, I have pairings in my mind for both vibes and for golf reasons, but I honestly think I could put almost any of them together and they would hit it off. They're a team. They have bought into the team concept.
Okay. So this feels more like a Team Europe story and less like a Team USA story.
Yeah, hopefully. part of that is, as part of my intro message to all of them, I sent them a giant spiel, a Ted Lasso spiel. So, okay. You know, I've been trying to foster the team aspect of it. And I think they're buying in. It seems like they're buying in.
Yeah, hopefully not be a goldfish. Hopefully remember everything, you know?
No, I think I've been stressing we need to do the work now. When we're there, we just need to enjoy each other and have fun, and that's how we're going to succeed. So it's the fuck your feelings, have some fun speech in Ted Lasso.
Nice. Yeah. I love it. Well, you know, that's going to be a lot of fun to follow, man. It's always interesting from my side of things, since I've seen so many at this point as a community member. Usually a pretty significant part of the live thread, because I like to argue it's more for us than for you guys at this point.
I'd agree with that.
But you know, it's always fun to see it unravel, and not to mention to see the unique and special things that the guys from Callaway and Odyssey and THP, JB, from behind the scenes, making things a little bit different each time, a little bit better, a little bit more refined. Are you curious to see what version of Callaway comes this time?
I am it's actually the biggest question I have right now is who's coming from Callaway. Because obviously we know Finley just had his procedure, and I love that that happened for him, and he's healing, he's resting up, but he's not going to be there. He's not going to be part of the playing team at the very least. So there's a big old unknown from everything that I've there's a curveball already. So it'll be like, the biggest question is whoever is taking over the captain duties for Callaway going to stick with the same styles of pairings, or are we going to see pairings? Like, is it going to be a lot of team members from Callaway that we've seen in a completely different makeup? And just what that's going to be like, it's all a little bit of an unknown, which I actually think is really exciting.
Yeah. It's cool, man. Tell me, as we sort of sneak into the final section of this, what was your year of golf like, knowing that this was on the horizon? Did you refine a lot? Did you play for enjoyment? What was your style this year?
I played with, I think, a lot more intentionality of making sure I wasn't just going out and playing for the sake of playing. Like, I was still going out for enjoyment. It was still... It's the greatest escape that I have found that I have. It's the one thing I can do and not think about work or anything else. I can just focus on golf. So I spent a lot less time on the range, and I spent a lot more time on the course, just working on things. I got to more courses this year. I made a conscious effort to go play more varied styles than my one standard home uni that has no bunkers. I also traveled a bit and got to play in a couple other states. Like, I saw some different golf, which was helpful. Took a few lessons, worked on my short game a lot. So golf, it's been great, because golf has had, every round of golf I played has felt like it's had a purpose. I was never just going out just to play. I was always going out to work on something. I was grabbing elite clubs as they were coming out to try out. This is the first year I've played a Callaway ball, so I was getting used to that for a while. Callaway wedges, stuff like that, like trying out the different types of clubs. That way I have some semblance of an idea going in. I didn't want to go in and be like, I've never hit a Callaway wedge. What? And because I know that I'm not gonna have time to play through all that in the fitting process there.
I mean, Opus isn't a bad wedge to start
with. It's really not. It's a great wedge.
Was there one product that surprised you most this year out of Callaway?
The Elite TD Tour draw.
The driver.
I have no business hitting that as well as I do. It baffles me. Also, the like I actually got the I was testing the AI-200s for THP starting at the end of last year. So I've had those in the bag, and it's been nice having that in the bag the whole time. I can trust them at this point.
Mm. It seems like every product they come out with, every segment of the company has a little bit of intrigue and a whole lot of quality.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is they come out with a ball. It's like Chrome Tour. What in the world's that? And then they're like, they sneak all these other little things in there, despite me being completely obsessed with Chrome Tour at this point. The drivers, they have all these little segments. I happen to have TDTD in the bag, as I call it, titty in the bag. And, it gives me a little smile before I put a horrible swing on and get more out of it than I deserve.
Yeah, that's my experience with it too. Horrible swing, beautiful shot. It doesn't make any sense.
But there's also like these huge gems that people have cult followings of. They just dropped the new UW, the new super hybrid, I think in August, September-ish.
Yeah.
And it's like both of those both of those clubs will have like feverish perspective on THP. And I think that's the cool part about the company is they don't just release stuff. Every time they come out with something, it seems like one of the bits is worth really diving into.
Absolutely. I'm one of those guys who has the UW. I've tried to take it out of the bag three different times this year for like I got an Elite Tie 5 wood. I was in there for a few rounds. Nope, the UW came back. So it'll be very interesting to see if I end up with a new UW or if something else unseats it.
Yeah.
I love that club.
ECPC is going to tell you a lot of things, isn't it?
Yep. I've also learned like I've gone through the whole range of balls this year. I started with Chrome Tour, played the Triple Diamond for a while, and now I've actually surprisingly to myself settled on the X. I think it's really? A great ball. Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't generate enough spin on my own is the long and short of it. And it helps. And it's not, I always thought, cause my biggest miss is off the tee with too much right. Usually sometimes too much left if I get really, really aggressive with it.
Okay.
So I always like in my brain without the proper knowledge, I thought, well, a lower spinning ball will help mitigate that. And to some degree, that's true, but I've found that with I don't see the misses isn't any bigger with the X as it is with the regular Chrome Tour. And I get more greenside spin, which helps me not blow the ball through the green if I come out a little low.
Interesting.
Can happen. So
I went from Chrome Soft to Chrome Tour this year. It has a lot to do with a little bit lower iron spin. I've really brought it back a little bit. It gives me more control there. And then the green side is just different, man. I've been having so much fun hitting these little touch shots. And it's like, I'm used to the ball, like landing soft and sort of rolling out a little bit, not really getting to play the low spinners. And I mean, Chrome Tour has really let me get creative, which is fun. I mean, it's different. And not to mention, I'm curious about this because you seem like a guy who likes his stuff. So
I do.
All these new balls are coming out with the different logos on them. And the it's not necessarily triple track anymore, really. It's just like the visuals on the golf ball. You love that, don't you?
I do love it. I've got a bunch of them. My I think our favorite release of the year is the same as the Quail Hollow, the PGA ball.
Unbelievable.
It's such a good ball.
It's the colors, man. The baby yep. blue and the dark blue.
It works so good.
The little hornets on there. I've got like the little hot dogs with me yeah. right now just hanging out.
I got the there's the Trash Talk set. I have grabbed a Happy Gilmore set. Yeah, I've got a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, how much fun are those?
They're a lot of fun. And I do love that I can still play the Chrome. Like, yes, the X helps me, but the Chrome Tour is still a great ball.
Yeah,
it's not that much of a difference to matter to a person of my skill level, and they're fun.
Well,
they're just so much fun.
I want to give you a chance. If there's something you want to be remembered for after this year, what is it?
Oh man. Well, I want to be remembered for being the second captain to bring home the belt. And
oh, they've won that before?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. I want to experience the walking through the airport. I'm sure you could tell me all about it.
The complete surprise of the entirety of the last day, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one.
And I also want to be remembered for bringing it back and having another team get to experience this. That's the biggest goal for us is to make sure that we do our job both at the event and after to make sure that it comes back.
Cause yeah. continue to keep the Callaway conversation flying, which it always tends to do.
No one,
granddaddy.
No one deserves to do this, and I want as many people to do it as possible. It's unreal.
Awesome. Do you have any little bits of shit talk for Callaway, or quick shout outs from the team or to the community as a whole before we wrap?
I don't know if I have any shit talk because I don't know. I don't know who I'm playing. I mean, I probably know who I'm playing, and he's probably gonna. He will hear it if I end up winning that match.
Who's that?
I'm assuming I'm gonna end up playing one Mr. Austin Tudor.
Yeah, he's pretty good at golf.
He's very, very good at golf. So if I win a hole, I may start chirping. Who knows?
Burps off, boys.
But. The thing I keep coming back to is just great gratitude. Thank you to everyone at Callaway who does this for us, the Hideaway. I can't wait to meet Al. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to the most. And then just all of the support from the community here at THP is just, it's unreal. It's a unicorn of a place on the internet. I've been to a lot of different forums for a lot of different things, and there's no place like this. Not one.
I would definitely like to shout that out a little louder if we can, because not all the audience comes from the forum. There's quite a bit outside of that. And I think what people don't realize is there are places you can enjoy this game with like-minded individuals. The forum is an unbelievable place to do it. I always joke that my wife got so sick of me talking about hockey and golf, she maybe joined forums, and turned out it was an unbelievable decision. On my part, maybe not the best on hers because it takes up so much time, but take a chance, man. We're talking to a guy here who 2 years ago was barely even thinking about playing golf, and now he's all in on a pretty cool community.
All in, and it's all because of the community. And then no one ever feels like a stranger. You meet some of these guys in person, and you don't know them, but you know them. And it's just so cool. It's a wonderful place.
I'll tell you what, man, you better go win this thing.
Oh, we're
going to be a lot of fun.
We're going to bring it.
I'll be bringing it on the forum. And this is a call out to you. We are playing golf again next year. I will not go another calendar year without it.
Absolutely.
Sound good?
Definitely.
All right, my friend. Hey, hope you guys enjoyed this. The granddaddy is going to kick off here in early December. Get on the forum and check it out for yourself. See what craziness these guys have in store for them. We are hugely on board with supporting Team THP. It's going to be a good one. I'm really excited. If you guys are playing golf this weekend, have fun. The snow is melting here. I will be playing golf. I'm going to play good. So you better as well. We'll see you guys next week. Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
THP crew, Professor Don, back here answering another one of your questions at Shaft University. Question this week's came from one of you guys who got two different fittings this year, one for Denali Black and one for a hazardous yellow. Question was, why would you be fit into those two shafts and which one should you choose? Well, they're both low trajectory shafts. They get there in different ways. The hazardous yellow, really stiff butt and really stiff tip section with a pretty soft midsection. The Denali shafts have more of a smooth profile, so a little bit kind of more flexible all throughout the length. As far as which one you should choose, if you've got an aggressive tempo, you definitely want to go with the hazardous. If you're a smoother swinger, go with Denali. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.